Maybe that'll maybe we should do something else.
So it's a Shakespearean matter that I'm in church.
What the tools do you have
to do? Tell us to your family.
There you go.
Always.
Oops. All right, got it.
We will call this meeting to order. Okay.
Commissioner Maurice Roberts. Commissioner Ramirez.
Hi.
Thank you. Commissioner Kathy Elfman.
Present.
Commissioner Kathy Don.
Present.
Vice Chairman Owen Getsy.
Present.
Chair Becky Quintero.
Present.
Commissioner Darren Gregg. And we have four.
Okay. Thanks. I have a motion to accept all minutes as provided. No, you have to move. She will.
Okay. Yeah, I'll make the motion to approve the minutes.
Second. All those in, say aye.
Aye.
Call the audience. We have 14 members who have signed up for call to the audience. We're holding it at 3 minutes. And you'll hear a timer go off when your 3 minutes are up. Okay? Good?
Yep.
First on the agenda, on the Richard Hernandez.
You want me to sit there?
Yes, please stand.
You want me to put a chair there?
No, just stand.
Oh, just stand there.
Yeah.
Sorry to everybody.
What?
Thank you. I'm Richard Hernandez, and for the record, I do live in the city of Tucson. I'm in Ward 5. I'm a registered Democrat. I vote and I pay taxes. That's for the record. I'm in the Mission Manor community. My family has been a block away from Mission Manor School since 1964. We've been in that house over 60 years. Mission Manor has become a household name for those of us who live there, and we don't want it to change. Mission Manor has a great history and legacy. And one of the phenomena going on today with the person in the White House, I'm going to leave it at that, is we have the political elite whitewashing Hispanic culture, African-American culture, and rewriting it. And by changing the name at Mission Manor, you would be spiteful for anybody who ever was proud to be a parent of somebody who went to Mission Manor. In the late 60s, early 70s, they had a football team, Southwest Rams. They were national champions. The political elite didn't say, let's change it to Southwest Rams Park. They were members of the Mission Manor Park community. Sunnyside Little League has had national champions. Maybe some of you know it, some of you don't. But if you don't, I brought you pictures. You can all have one. In 2013, the softball team, that would be the girls, were national champions. They didn't change the name of that park to their baseball team. It was the baseball team at Mission Manor Park. In 1992, the boys won the baseball program. We didn't change it then either. There's a very proud tradition on the South Side. I can remember our next door neighbor, Antonia Machichi, who would be 115 today if she lived. She would make tortillas so she could get money to sell for her grandkids. Mission Manor Park. I remember Halo Garms on the other side. Kids played football when we had the football program. During the practice, she was selling those dollar chocolate candies. That is what Mission Manor Park is. We should not change the name for the political elite. We should not whitewash the history of Mission Manor, the culture, the things the kids have done their legacy needs to stay. I am going to encourage you to make the rec center. That would be the pool and all that. You can name that the Grijalva Center at Mission Manor Park. To do anything less is to disrespect any child who worked there, worked out there, got the accolades, like grabbing all their trophies and all their ribbons. Let's throw it in the trash because it doesn't matter anymore. So I've come to you today to ask you to be respectful of those of us who live there. Thank you.
Angie Kathimer.
No. Hi, my name is Angie Rodriguez Kathmer, and I went to Sunnyside my whole life. I'm not a public speaker, and I'm used to being in the background assisting others. I feel Mission Manor Park should retain its name. I lived on Calle Margarita, which is about 3-4 blocks away from Mission Manor Park, until I ventured on my own and attended college. My parents purchased the home brand new in the development when it first started. My younger sister still lives in that house now. I watched Mission Manor Park go through the years, attended Mission Manor Elementary School all 6 years. I remember the entertainment for the kids of the community was this large dirt hill in the park on the northeast end of the school ground where we would take pieces of cardboard and slide down. The park was in its beginning stages and not much was there. Congressman Grijalva attended Sunnyside Junior High, graduated from Sunnyside High School, as did I. I later in my life became a Sunnyside teacher, beginning at Drexel Elementary and transferred to Mission Manor until I retired. I am also was a past member of the Sunnyside Neighborhood Association and did a lot of community work with them. One project I worked was painting on the kids at the Mission Manor with Mr. Cardenas, who was Mission Manor art teacher. We painted the mural in the old pool. Which is now gone. There is currently a Grijalva Elementary School and small park next door already named after Senator Grijalva. I only live a few miles away from there. There is also a Raul M. Grijalva Canoa Ranch Conservation Park in Green Valley. Why does it have to be another place having his name? Now the Mission Manor Park pool, as I agree with the person before me, is being reconstructed, and that would be a better choice, if necessary, to have another location named for his name. I am also a Democrat. I voted for Mr. Grijalva, but Mission Manor needs to keep its name for its history.
Robert Jones?
Hi, thank you.
Can you hear me? Barbara Jones?
Not very well, but...
No. Yes. Yes, can you hear me?
I can't hear you, Barbara.
Go. Hold on, Barbara. Yeah. 1 minute.
Thank you.
Try to speak again, Barbara.
Can you hear me now?
No.
We can't read
this. Sorry. Somebody else, more staff talk online. Make sure it's working. Jasmine.
Hello.
Hello.
I can hear Barbara.
Test.
Can you hear us?
Well, Dean's thing just went purple and we didn't hear him.
Can you hear us?
I can hear Barbara talking and I heard Jasmine talking.
I can hear Dean.
Yeah, I can hear everyone.
Can you hear me?
Okay. Hello.
Wait. All right, Dean, speak again.
Please. Yes. Can you hear me now, Bob?
Yes. Okay, we're good. We should be good. All right, Barbara, let's try you.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Barbara Jones, Friends of Danny Lopez Park and the Alliance for Ecological Park Management. Sorry. We have very recently learned that a new infestation of stink net has been found at Danny Lopez Park. We are working with the Desert Museum, Pima County, and others, and our group has committed to adopting the monitoring and managing of StinkNet for the southern half of the park between Sweetwater Drive and the park entrance. This includes the park area along Silver Bell Road, and we would like to ask park maintenance to help us by pruning back any tree branches that encroach upon the shoulder so that we have safe and easy access. Also, a quick thank you to Greg Jackson, John Bonias, and Adrian Jaramillo for working with us to try to find a solution to the problem of people going onto the Silver Bell Lake Island at the park and terrorizing the birds, starting fires, and leaving trash. Currently, the great blue herons are starting their spring nesting there, and people on the island are very disruptive to them. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Raul Ramirez.
I thank the committee and chair for allowing me to speak. I'm speaking on behalf of the San Juan de Negro Park. There's a, what they call a public briefing feedback. It looks like this, and it's in the packet of information. But I just want to clarify a couple of things, or actually about three things. One of them is that the, I think, exception to modest majority, a win is a win. I follow Arizona Basket. That's why I brought this shirt. But you can win for 1 point or 20 points. So the margins don't make that much difference in the win. Mr. Dahl won at a very small margin. True. But he still won. So it's still a win. So I just want to say that. In addition, there's additional petitions that are going to be submitted by one of our speakers that will raise that level to about 900. And again, there's a question about whether information was shared on the petition. All of them had a heading, and the petitions were two-page. So if you're looking at the second page, there's no heading there, but they're all clipped. Now, maybe when they got copied, they may not be clipped anymore. The on the back of it, it talks about the pros and cons. So one of the things that's left out is really that Salomon was the reason that the park exists. It wouldn't exist any other way, honestly. If you follow the history back in the 70s and the protest movements, he was center all of that. But one of the other things that I noticed is there's a lot of people that are attached to the name Joaquin Murieta, and I get it. But I also want to clarify that part. In the initial go in the 70s, there was a survey that was done, and people in the barrios indicated this was their choice. Okay, that's fine. But then nothing happened. And then the city moved ahead and named it Northwest Park. It was not till 1990 when Salomon was on the Parks Commission, like yourselves, that he brought it up. In addition, there was another individual that was Eddie Rios. Eddie cannot come today because he's sick. But they were the ones that said to the city, no, you know what? Back in the day, it was called Murieta. Okay. They went back to the archives. They found it. And sure enough, they renamed it from Northwest to Murieta. We moved in to that area when the park was just fairly small, so we knew it was Northwest. But I can tell you that Salomon, of all the people, is deserving of the honor to have that park named after him. Murieta is a cultural hero in certain ways, but he has no affiliation with the park. And I know sometimes for people it's hard to let go, especially since that's what they call it, but I think it's time to make that decision and move on, especially now that I can get innovated. Thank you.
Next one is?
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Max Torres. I'm a retired city employee, almost 30 years in the city. I worked in the city manager's office for 7 years in charge of neighborhoods. That's when we're doing a lot of good stuff with neighborhoods, including Sunnyside and every neighborhood in the area. We grew the neighborhoods from 61 to 163 during that period of time that were registered with the city. I also worked with Councilmember Shirley Scott in Ward 4 for 9 years. The last couple of years, I was her chief of staff. And because of that experience, I know
a lot about the process with respect to making changes like with the ones we're talking about now. I processed a change of a vacancy at Wilson Park back in 1997, and it was real simple then. You know, you didn't have to pay anything. You just had to meet in front of the commission and then in front of the mayor and council. But I understand the purpose of regulations. The purpose of regulations, obviously, is to ensure consistency, to ensure fairness, and to ensure that everyone follows the process. You know, once you get involved in the process, you got to stay with it or else then there's liability issues. So you don't ever want to make those kinds of changes. The nice thing about your situation today is you've got four people that are being considered with respect to name change. All four of them are deserving. And when I was at the U of A and I was on the advisory committee for the athletic department, I was there when Stacy was on the softball team. She was an amazing athlete. And then I worked on Dawood's first campaign when he ran for school board. And I've known Mona ever since then, of course. And I'm a big supporter of Adelita. I think she's been just tremendous. And I'm a lifelong Democrat. I lived in the city of, within the city limits up until about 7 or 8 years ago when my daughter decided she wanted to go to Mountain View. So she carted me off into that area. But one of the reasons that I want to speak is because, over 150 softball players that play at Murrieta asked me to speak on their behalf, and then there was some additional people that signed petitions. I got 150 signatures of petitions from softball players, men and women, that have played at Murrieta, and in fact, some of them even played in Western Little League. Some of their children have played in Western Little League, and now some of them, because they're about my age, 75 and over, the softball players are, some of their grandkids are playing at Western Little League. So there's a real connection between softball players and Joaquin Murrieta Park, and they support the idea of changing the name of Joaquin Murrieta Park to Salomón Valdenegro Park in view of the fact that he was the impetus and he was the leader in the process of changing the park. I grew up in Wilcox, Arizona on a small farm. And in 1969, my dad and my uncles got a couple of jobs in Tucson, so they moved here. I stayed in Wilcox to finish football season. Then I moved here, and I went to Pueblo the rest of my freshman year. And I remember late 1969, there was a march on City Hall by the community on this whole thing. So anyway, the point that I'm making is just thank you very much for your volunteerism. Thank you for everything that you're doing. And I'm so glad that we've got such great people that are being considered today. Before I give these to the petitions.
Thank
you for your time. Thank you. Thanks. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Frank Sotomayor, co-chair of the committee to rename Murrieta Park in honor of Salomón Valdenegro. Now, I just want to remind everybody that this effort came from the community, from the ground up. And we have been working at this for 9 months, since last April. So we feel that the renaming is most appropriate because Salomón Valdenegro led protests in the 1960s, a decade of protests, to change the name that would reflect, to form the park to serve the Westside communities. I lived in Vineyard Hollywood. And I know that was a very underserved community, to put it very mildly. If you talk about outhouses, if you talk about dirt streets, we have it. So it was Salomón that not only brought the park to the west side, but he also found a change. He started a change in attitude toward Mexican Americans and other people of color. Before that, the city council and the mayor, the powers that be, had little respect for the West Side Barrios, the South Side Barrios, and other areas, the black areas, the Asian American areas, the certainly it was a white-dominated city government. So Salomón, through his protests and through bringing people together with them, persuaded the city through negotiations to change, to bring to bring about a park that was sorely needed in West LA. Okay, so there was the commission and the department asked for a comment from the city residents, and Salomon received 57% yes, the name should be changed, and only 43% said no. So this is a wide margin. If this was an election, this would be a landslide. So I call it the voice of the people having risen up. And and even those that said no change, they invariably said, I respect Salomon Valdenegro, but I like the name. So it seemed like the nostalgia. The second thing is they said it's going to be costly. Well, we raise people from contributing $2, $5, and so forth, $10,000. And I want to tell the city of Tucson that we are prepared to spend more than $3,000 and perhaps raise more to hold a grand celebration should you approve this and should the city council approve the change to Salomon Arba the Negro Park. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Frank. Anthony Nelson.
Hello, my name is Anthony Nelson. I'm here on behalf of myself. I am the president of Barrio Sin Nombre. We have a letter of support that was submitted with the paperwork for in regards to the name change of Murrieta to Salomon Badenegro. We are in support of it. I find Salomon Badenegro to me is a community hero. For people like myself, I grew up playing T-ball at Murrieta. We grew up going to Al Rio. So all these things, Salomon had a hand in getting them opened up for the community. I just want to let you guys know that we do support it. We are a small group with large efforts and large support. So I just want to say that. I'm sure you guys got the petitions that were turned in. That's all I'm going to leave you guys with. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Jean Ramirez.
Thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Jean Ramirez, and I live right across the street from Joaquin Murrieta Park. My kids grew up playing there. I learned to swim there, and I learned to swim because of the children. I wanted them to know that their mom could swim too. And Joaquin Murrieta has been a really important part of my children growing up and my grandchildren. And I come here before you because it is really important that people understand the history of the West Side. People really work hard, put their hearts into getting this park. And it was because of the efforts of Salomon to organize ordinary people, nanas, tías, children. They were all there. They were all there trying to get this park for their children. And when they were successful, it went on to the naming. And this petition, this effort to recognize Sal is so important to the West Side. You've seen that by all the petition, the effort, all the people that signed the individual petitions, and all the letters that people in the community have written. I read those letters. Those letters are written with so much effort and describe that dignity. And also describe how these people might have not gotten the education that they got. Because to know that Sal was also involved in the movement at the high schools to demand better education for minorities, for los Mexicanos on the West Side, he has played a pivotal role in Tucson on the West Side. And we don't forget that. He deserves this honor. He deserves this honor because beyond the park, he has given a lot to this community. And you know what? Because of him, a lot of us have had better lives. Those letters that were written with such amazing appreciation. And you know, a lot of times people say, oh, they can't, people, Mexicans don't speak that well and they're not that well to writing. I was amazed. It just made me so proud of all these people that have stood up to make sure that Sal is recognized the way he's supposed to be recognized. The other thing is that there was a lot of support. I saw the results of the three, you know, the parks. By far, Sal had the most, you know, community involvement. So please take that into consideration. Thank you.
Thank you. Tamika Washington?
Yes. Thank you. I'm sorry, dear.
Hello. I'm here speaking up for Mission Manor Park. I would like it to stay the same. My grandmother lives on Wedwick and Santa Clara, and she's lived there for over 50 years. I learned to swim in Mission Pool, and I attended Mission Manor school. And in 2021, my son was killed there. His name is Ocean Washington. On the comments of opposition for Mission Manor's name to be changed, there are comments there that are for Ocean to have his name not on Mission Manor Park, but on the Aquatic Center. I also believe that adding Ocean's name to the Aquatic Center would stand as a tribute, as a memorial for those young lives lost, especially here at parks. More recently, we've had Joshua Mariscal at Willie Blake Park, Daniel Arriaga. His mother is here with me at Manuel Herrera Park, which is, you can see that park from Mission Manor, and James Sanchez at Catalina Park, and my son Ocean at Mission Manor. And together, as grieving mothers, we support each other. And this would be not only a tribute to them as a place that we should be able to go and have our children play. Mission Manor specifically, where my son was shot, is between the Mission Manor School in front of the pool and next to a Boys and Girls Club. And we're not just here saying, hey, change the name. We're asking for acknowledgement, for remembrance. And I know that there will be murals. Maybe there can be a place there for us. We stand together and ask you just to see us, to hear us, and that we're not just statistics. Even if the park is not renamed, we will continue to raise our voices and continue to advocate. And I thank you. Thank you for your time.
Edgar Soto?
Good afternoon, Chair Quintero, members of the Recreation Park Commission, guests. My name is Edgar Soto. I'm in support of all four. I didn't know Raul and Ramona were on there, but their public service has been amazing, so I'm definitely in support of them also. But I'm here to talk about two specifically, so I'll go ahead and get into this. So Stacy Redondo, who I'm speaking about today, is a Tucson native who first played softball right here at Kennedy Park with Tucson Mountain Little League, the very field we're discussing today. From these humble beginnings, she blossomed into a standout athlete at Cholla High School and went on to become a key contributor to the University of Arizona's Wildcats' first two national championships in 1991 and 1993, and she was all-conference or all-tournament team in 1993. Beyond her collegiate success, Stacy was an educator, coach, mother, and mentor, She taught in Tucson schools, coached at South Point Catholic High School, and continued to inspire young women, especially Latina athletes, to believe in themselves, pursue excellence, and realize the greatness can start right here in this community. Naming these fields after Stacy would be more than a tribute. It would be a powerful symbol that the dreams of Tucson's youth, regardless of background or circumstance, are valid, achievable, and worth pursuing. It honors not just her athletic achievements, but her heart, her perseverance, and the lasting impact she has on countless lives. This recognition would be meaningful to Stacy's family and a source of inspiration for future generations who will pick up a glove on these fields and imagine their own path to success. Thank you for considering this Tucson hero, Stacy Redondo. And then I'm going to talk a little bit. I still got some time here about what Salmon. Salmon Badonego is a Tucson icon and a civil rights organizer whose leadership directly resulted in the creation of this park. In the late 1960s and 70s, Westside neighborhoods had no safe public spaces for children to play. Despite promises from city officials, Salmon, along with community members, stood up, organized, and even occupied a golf course to demand parks and families and youth for the youth. The bold grassroots activism led to the establishment of Joaquin Murrieta Park and Northwest Park. Salmon grew up in Barrio Hollywood and experienced firsthand the lack of investment on the west side. On a personal note, this park is deeply meaningful to me. It is where I played Western Little League Baseball, made some of my fondest childhood memories. The lessons I learned here at Western Little League and at Joaquin Murrieta Park about teamwork, perseverance, and community helped shape who I am today. I know many others feel this connection. While there were many advocates in the larger struggle for parks and justice on the west side, Salmon was a driving force behind delivering real lasting results for families and children. Naming the park in his honor would be a fitting recognition of his vision, courage, and young people who play there today. Thank you for considering this meaningful tribute. Wow, I just got it done under.
Robin?
Hello. How are you? Good to see you all again. This is a great day to be here. I did not know that what the agenda covered so many of my heroes for renaming the parks. I moved here when I was 6 years old. You may not know this, from Boston, Massachusetts. Our family moved out to A Mountain. I went to Menlo Park School. I started at 16 working for the city of Tucson and spent a 40 year career with the city of Tucson. As it turns out, my true hero, Sal Baldenegro, has always been a true hero and somebody I learned from at a very early age, along with Raul Grijalva, along with Mona. So I didn't come here to speak on behalf of that, but I want to tell you what an influence they had on me and why I continue, why I probably served for 8 years on this commission and just came off because I served my 8 years. And why I was probably actually here to really complain or talk about senior nutrition programs and making sure our seniors eat. But since we're talking about some of my heroes, I want to recognize them. I want to honor them. I want to thank all of those that gave their time today to be here. And on that note, since we're talking about parks, a letter was written over a month ago to the director to have Silver Lake Park renamed after Jerry Neely. You talked about cultural pride and the importance of that. And I will tell you that Mrs. Quincy Douglas would be extremely proud of all the work that Jerry Neely has done at Quincy Douglas. And the neighborhood already has 40 letters together. They're way ahead of the process, but they haven't had any response. So I'm asking that somebody have that put on the agenda. Third, the reason I came here, the senior nutrition programs, back last June of 2025, 5 of the 8 City of Tucson senior centers were closed with 2 weeks' notice. These are senior nutrition programs that had been active in feeding seniors 1/3 of their daily nutrition requirements for nearly 40 years. Those centers, this is the time that RFP comes out and is supposed to be submitted. So I would like to know I can't ask that at this time, if the city of Tucson is filling out that RFP for senior nutrition programs, if they have included all 8 centers to make sure seniors are eating at all eight sites. I'll tell you, I went to Armory last week, and what they were eating was something I wouldn't feed my worst enemy, honestly. And those numbers have gone down from, we used to feed over 100 seniors at Armory. They're lucky to have 30 people a day. So feeding seniors, I mean, that tells a lot about a city. It's how we're taking care of our youth and our elders. And we are not doing a good job when it comes to our elders. So I ask you to please address that, hopefully at your next meeting. Thank you.
Thank you.
Salvador Negro. Oh, you know what? I think that's mine.
Oh, yeah, Garcia. Oh, okay.
You get to talk now, Sal.
Okay, Maria, you can sneak in there.
Okay. Well, I'm not Sal, but anyway, my name is Maria Garcia. My son played at Western and or Juan Murrieta's park when he was small. I'm here in support of renaming the park for Sal Baldenegro. I've known Mr. Baldenegro for over 40 years. He's always worked really hard to try to encourage our children. He was instrumental in allowing the tribe from Pascua-Yaqui, Old Pascua. He included them in playing on the baseball team. The other thing that I'd like to also ask the commission is that we don't have a swimming pool in our area. Do you guys know? I mean, I appreciate the fact that the park has been renovated, but on the other hand, swimming is an extremely important skill for our children to have. Not everybody in Barrio Hollywood, Menlo Park have pools like some of us do, okay? So I'm going to ask for that as well. And then, again, please consider renaming the park to Sal Baldenegro. The pride that it brings to us as residents of the West Side, okay? This is the man who stood up, spoke out, fought. I was an activist, he was also an educator. He taught at Pima College. He also was at the U of A. So, you know, we want our youth to be leaders. And this is a prime example. When they say, you know, Selva de Negro Park, they're going to say, wow, do you know the history behind that? He has a lot of history. So please consider naming the park for Sal Baldenegro. I implore you to please do that. Thank you.
Ever Carrillo down?
Thank you. I'm here to speak on behalf of renaming the Mission Banner Park, the Raul M. Grijalva Park. There's quite a few reasons for this that I think you guys will be able to see. And many of them are very similar to what we've been hearing about the name changes for the other park. Other than Stacy, I knew every one of these people that we've been talking about. And I've learned from all of them. I grew up, you know, with them as my elders, learning a lot from all the activism that they have done throughout, not just Arizona, but, you know, even outside of Arizona. They have done an incredible job. All of them have. And, you know, the reason I would like to see this change is because Mission Manor means a lot to me, and it meant a lot to Raul. I grew up in the Mission Manor area all of my life. I've been there all of my life, and I used to go there when my relatives came from out of town, from El Paso, from Lawrenceburg, from California. We'd go walking down the dirt roads, the dirt 12th Avenue to Mission Manor Park to play there, because that was really the only thing we had. I played baseball there, softball. We were the Devilettes, and we played all over the city, but Mission Manor was our main park that we would go to in order to practice. Unfortunately, we also had breaks there, and we would go and and drink from the water faucets. And because of that, I know that with the water being contaminated with TCE, unfortunately, a lot of my teammates, you know, have passed away from different types of cancers and stuff. But Raul always understood the environmental impacts that we have. And that's why he's worked so hard, you know, here in Pima County, he worked to pass the Sonoran Conservation Plan, which is an incredible plan for conservation here in Tucson, Pima County. And then when he went to Washington, still understanding the importance of the environmental impacts, he was able to get a permanent national landscape conservation system. And with this, it was protected millions of acres of our federal public lands. So he has always been tirelessly working for our community, for our environment, and for our education. As you know, he was also a board member at TUSD. And he did that for many years before he became a board of supervisor. He has had a life of service. And the service that he has done, I think, you know, should get recognized. And Mission Manor Park is someplace that he went to. He grew up in, as many of us grew up in, played ball and, you know, went there just to have picnics. You know, we had our Easter hunts there. We had our birthday parties there, and those kind of things. So I really feel that it's important and critical that we honor these people, you know, honor all those people we've been talking about today for all the activism and all the work that they have done, hours and hours that they have put in to, you know, make our communities better, to make our communities safer, to make our communities thrive. And so, you know, naming the park after him would be a great honor. I also want to say, as far as, okay. But Mona said we needed the therapeutic park, and she fought for it, and we've got it.
Thank you.
Fuck. You're not getting it, though, baby.
Good afternoon. My name is Rene Redondo. I was Stacy's dad. There's a distinction between this effort and the others in that we're not renaming anything. We're naming a complex that was built that has no name. And Stacy was, I'm third generation Tucsonan. She was fourth. Her kids are fifth. I was a first generation U of A graduate. She was second. Her oldest son has already graduated from the U of A, and the youngest one is attending there. Stacy loved softball. She developed that passion at Tucson Mountain Little League. It's played at Kennedy Park. She became a teacher. She also, before that, she was quite a gifted athlete. And she got a lot of recognition, a lot of success at Tucson Mountain, later at Cholla High School, and then later, obviously, at the U of A. But she was well-liked. And if you look at some of the comments that were posted, there's some negative comments, but they're the ones that say, we don't want to rename parks. We don't want to spend any money. There's no money involved. There's no city money involved with this whole process. But beyond that, she was an inspiration. It's sad she passed away April the 17th, 3 years ago. Tomorrow would be her 55th birthday. And we miss her tremendously. I want to thank my nephew, who's my namesake, for pushing this effort. Because it would be, she was an inspiration to those that she taught. If you look at many of the comments that were posted, just, we had the same feedback when she passed away, that she was an inspiration to kids because of her passion for life, her passion for softball, her passion for reading and education. And this would be a tremendous testament, and I think it would be inspirational for any kids that go there to understand her legacy. I thank the commission for hearing us. And I thank my nephew a lot for the effort that he put forth. Thank you.
Esther?
I think she left.
Was she left? Is she still there?
There's an E.
She was in.
I would just ask if anybody seems. Is there anybody online that would like to address the commission?
Esther left.
She left.
So that was it, right? Okay. Thank you. On to the park renaming proposal. Can I rearrange the...
Yeah, as long as we stick to what is called out on the agenda, we can go in whatever order.
Okay. And I put Kennedy Park Softball Complex to Stacy Redondo Fields first. Okay, and then we'll follow with Mission Manor Park, Mission Manor Aquatic Center, and then Joaquin Murrieta. That's good? Okay, thank you. Antonio?
Thank you. Sarah, I'm a father of two kids. My daughter's 5 years old. She did T-ball last year, and she's going to be doing T-ball this year at Kennedy Park. I'm very happy to see this on the agenda. You know, I think we do need to create space to recognize Latina women in the city who've made an impact. And your daughter, she was a national champion, a fourth generation Tucsonan. And so I'm very happy to ask for a motion to approve. Ask for a motion to request the mayor and council to approve this park renaming.
Field renaming.
Field renaming. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
All those in favor? Aye.
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 All those opposed? So, Kennedy Park Softball Complex to Stacy Redondo Field. Antonio, next we have Mission Manor Park to.
So, I'm going to talk a little bit about both Congressman Grijalva and Sal Negro. So. There's, I recognize the attachment that people have in this community to their parks and to the names of the parks. And this is where people have, they've had their life moments. I'm wearing Sunnyside Foundation shirt, where we've done runs year after year. And I understand the connection that people have to the parks and to the names of the parks. I also believe that parks are living places with the potential to change. And Raul Grijalva and Salomon Valdenegro were titans in our community. They made a tremendous impact. And when I see some of the vile comments online, I get very angry because I know that these two men did tremendous, they put their lives like for their community. And I had the pleasure of sitting down with Mr. Valdenegro, and he told me the story of how this park came to be. And without a doubt, this would not have happened without his presence and without him pushing. And he also told me the story of where he went door to door with a survey asking people to vote on what name that they think the park should be. And what is interesting is that Joaquin Murrieta was not even on the list of options for people to vote for. Enough people voted for it to be a write-in candidate that it actually became the first and the up top name choice from the community. So it's interesting. I wonder how that actually came to be. And so looking at this item, I'll give the motion for the Grijalva Park, but it'll be similar to Salomon Valdenegro. I would like to make a motion to ask the mayor and council to rename the park to, the Raul Grijalva Tributes at, Mission Manor Park. And I believe, actually not tribute, memorial, Raul Grijalva Memorial at Mission Manor Park. And I believe that this is a way to compromise and to retain the history that exists at the park while also recognizing the local heroes that we have in Tucson.
What would that look like? Like just a sign? Is that what you're saying?
I think it could be a sign. I would like to see also a recommendation for some kind of signage, photographic signage with writing and photographs at the park that describes the history of how this park came to be, and also the input, the impact that Congressman Grijalva had on the park. And I'd also think that should definitely include the Little League World Champions that were practicing and did and won at the park too.
Does anybody have any comments or questions?
I do,
Mr. Roberts.
Yes, really curious, but what exactly is the origin of the word Mission Manor? I'm a little uncomfortable because I do believe that Raul Grijalva was a hero. Okay, he was a representative of a large movement in southern Arizona. And to me, having a plaque, you know, dedicated to his honor is not really giving him justice. I know that people are attached to the name Mission Manor, but you know, as you mentioned earlier, you know, the park leaves, okay, you know, people change, you know, we move on, okay. You know, we used to have a, you know, Christopher Columbus Park in this town, okay. Again, like I said, you know, I think we need to, you know, stay with the present, and in the present that I could see, you know, ex-congressman Grijalva was a star. And, you know, I think he would bring, you know, respect, you know, from the neighborhood, or respect to Renee's action matter.
Anybody have any other comments? Ms. Dunn?
Yes, Madam Chair. As a fifth generation Tucsonan and fifth generation member of the Sunnyside Unified School District community who has grown up near Mission Manor Park, who has lived and served my whole life in the Sunnyside community, I really value the work that Raul Grijalva has done for our community, in the Sunnyside community, but in the greater, area, the region. And I also want to point out that, renaming does not eliminate history. For example, growing up in Tucson, I still call Rodeo Park, not Rudy Garcia Park. I love that it's Rudy Garcia Park because now I have someone to go think about when I go to what I used to know as Rodeo Park. Now I have someone that, hey, why is this named Rudy Garcia Park now? I have a place that is named after someone who is valued by the community. And I understand, especially in Tucson, you know, other communities in Arizona don't value its roots as much as Tucson, I think. And I love that this city values its roots. And as a fifth generation person, I am in favor of name changes because I think it honors the people who continue to work for this community because roots need wings. And I think Raul Grijalva has given, and Salomon Valdenegro. I mean, they're all, every single person, as stated in the call to the audience, has so much deserving of these, the fields, the parks. And I think we need to do them honor and know that that name's not going to change the history. That name's going to enhance it. It's going to provide future communities and people like my own daughter who now goes to school in the Sunnyside community, a person to think about when she goes and plays at those facilities and parks.
I am, my comment is that as commissioners, we need to listen to the people who have made the comments and who have made their voice heard very loudly, that we do not support the renaming, with 1,143 comments saying no and only 382 people saying yes. We need to listen to those voices because they matter as well. I was born a few streets away from Mission Manor Park, so that is my park from 1953 on. We have been there forever. My dad was the one who helped other men build the fields when it was dirt and in the beginning. So we know the hill. We know we grew up there. So as much as I appreciate Mr. Grijalva, Congressman Grijalva, he went to school with my brother at Sunnyside. My dad used to mentor him when he was supervisor. Family connections. But we need to listen to the people who have voiced their concerns. And Antonio has said that some sort of tribute sign would appease or help bring people together so that we don't disrespect the community. There needs to be some sort of compromise in keeping Mission Manor Mission Manor. Manon?
I live in Ward 5. I represent Ward 2. I've been in Ward 5 for about close to 32 years now. And Grijalva helped me and a group of citizens save a huge chunk of the park we are now currently in. And I adore the man, but I agree with Becky around the survey, and the survey is adamantly against changing the name. And the city of Tucson spent monies on surveys, and what would be the point of them if we didn't actually listen to them? I've been behind park surveys before and seen them happen, and we have to trust those processes. I really like what our commissioners are bringing in, lovely words and sentiments, and I agree with them to an extent. But there's also, you know, there is a lot of renaming of parks going on. And I do think fundamentally we need to keep some of our history stabilized and have a sense of placement. And just the last evening I was talking to someone who grew up here and whose families have grown up here, and he goes, I don't even know what to call the park I work out in anymore. I'm very confused. It was one thing when I was a child, and it was something else, and now it's this. And he was right to a point. But it would be nice if we could create some kind of compromise. I agree.
Kathy?
Thank you all for your comments, and I do agree that Mr. Grijalva was a titan in his community, and his outstanding support for the environment across his lifetime is beyond stellar, and I am happy and very gratified to have known Raul. What else is being considered in this city besides Mission Park? I mean, I was wondering why we weren't naming larger things after him. Not to diminish the complexity of Mission Park, but why isn't a county building being named after him?
The federal building is being renamed
to
Grijalva Park. Grijalva Federal Building, okay. Brought together with Ruben Gallego and Mark Kelly. So that is being done.
Because he was a large man. in terms of his impact. Thank you for that input.
Mm-hmm. Antonio, do you want to bring up your motion again?
Yeah, I'll throw on the clarity on. So I think online it can say Raul M. Grijalva Memorial at Mission Manor Park. But at the park, we'll have a memorial tribute to him with the signage. So it would have a photographic and written monument installation in the park, a short historical timeline explaining his impact, QR codes relating to oral histories or recorded reflections, and a community unveiling event so neighbors feel included and not bypassed.
Do I have a second on that?
Second.
All those in favor of the motion? Say aye.
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 Motion passes.
Next, Mission Manor Aquatic Center to Ramona. Ward 1.
So the Aquatic Center, it exists because of the advocacy of Ramona Grijalva, Mona Grijalva. And, she has consistently upheld the need of equitable aquatic access on the south side where there's not enough pools. And I believe that her legacy reflects a lifelong commitment to public service and public institutions, and I would move to rename the Aquatic Center, or just not even really renaming it, but to name the Aquatic Center Ramona F. Grijalva Aquatic Center.
Any comments? Manon?
What about including the ocean in this?
Ocean?
OSHA. Because there were other names brought up during the
something to do with citizens of Ruby and
Can we further discuss this and hold off and do further information on this, or do we have to vote on this today?
It's the commission's decision on how you want to proceed. If you want to defer it to next meeting, that's up to you.
How do you feel about deferring it until further discussion?
Just the memorial.
No, just the Aquatic Center. Wow.
Would you mind staying after and getting my number? I'd like to have a conversation.
Yeah.
May I ask a question about the current memorial that was just unveiled? I know that there was a memorial that was unveiled there recently.
TCE.
For TCE. Is this a proposal to include additional memorials, plural, or solely? Because, we brought up multiple people have been affected in addition to Ocean. So I was curious if that's the request.
No,
just to add Ocean.
No, it cannot be because this is already a done proposal.
Okay,
that would be a different.
Also, if we want to have a separate discussion, we really need to agendize it
right,
so that we're in compliance with people being aware we're going to talk about something different.
I'm just curious, was there a poll?
There was a poll for Mr. Manor naming everything. There was. Total surveys were 149. In support, there was 34 for yes and 115 for no.
This is for the aquatic center. 140 against for a moment?
Yeah, 115 against the renaming. Not against Ramona,
against
the renaming. We all love Ramona. Okay. It's just the renaming.
Considering this, followed the guidelines by turning around any Mission Manor Park to run with Alva. Should we not consider not revealing the Mission Manor Aquatic Center to Ramona Grijalva since the majority was against it?
Well,
and again,
or that there's a motion on the floor.
Which one is the overseer of Mission Manor Park? So Antonio has to make that motion.
Okay.
So do you want to read? What do you want to do?
Okay, so ma'am, let's continue conversation, but I will move to, I'll move to move forward with renaming the Aquatic Center after. So I'll keep them. It is, and we'll make the vote today.
Okay, it's just the renaming right now. And I'm going to take individual motion name and votes. I'm sorry. I'm going to take individual ones.
Wait a second.
Oh, I need a second. Now I can take an individual vote. Roll call. Okay.
Commissioner Maurice Roberts.
Well, you know, I have a conflict. There's a law to be following rules, the rules of majority for one man and not for the other one. So I cannot consciously vote for it. Even though, I'm for it, but if the majority, the largest majority, is voted against it, I will follow the majority.
So no. Your answer is no.
In respect to the orders, if I have a second.
The audience, some of us really, are the audience really can't discuss this.
And would you please summarize what has occurred so far and the exact wording of what would be the names of the parks with the renaming. Okay, I'm not clear. I don't know many others. Maybe I'm not very smart, but I have no idea what has taken place so far.
Okay, so we need to use our outdoor voices so that the audience can hear us, okay? Okay, so right now on the floor is the Mission Manor renaming process for the Aquatic Center to Ramona Grijalva Center. That's what's on the floor right now.
What has happened so far with the others?
We're taking a vote. We're taking a vote right now. Okay. Maurice has already voted.
Commissioner Antonio Ramirez?
Aye.
Okay. Commissioner Kathy Altman?
Aye.
Commissioner Kathy Don?
Aye.
Vice Chairman Ongetsi?
No.
And Chair Becky Quintero?
No. So the motion does not pass?
That's
moving on to Salvador Negro Park. So, outdoor voices.
I looped in my comments about Salomon Bautista Negro Park with my comments about Raul Grijalva. I feel the same, that he is a titan in this community, while also recognizing the attachment to the community name, the name of Joaquin Moody at the park, and also the extra layer of having learned from Sal how that park name actually came to be. I think that's fascinating, and I think that needs to be written down and made accessible. And so I would like to propose that we do a photographic and written monument installation in each park, in this park and Mission Manor Park, and a short historical timeline explaining their impact, QR codes linking the oral histories or recorded reflections, and also community unveiling events so neighbors feel included and not bypassed. And online it should say that it's the Salomon R. Valdenegro tributes at Joaquin Moody at the park.
Nope.
So I'll take an individual vote as well. Are there any other comments?
We need a second.
Sorry, I keep forgetting.
It's okay.
I need a second on that.
Second.
You can do discussion.
Yeah, we need to do discussion.
Vote.
Again, do we have a poll by the city as far as how many people are in favor and how many are against?
Yes.
Yes, we do.
So this in support, there's 170 comments in support of Salva the Negro Park.
Okay.
And opposition is 144.
And, you know, the people have spoken, as far as I'm concerned, so I cannot go with your motion. It has to be Baldenegro's. It has to be Selden Baldenegro Park. I'm not being, the plaque will not be sufficient.
Kathy, do you have something to say?
I agree, basically. I think that the people spoken will follow the rules very specifically in this case, and that there was talk of having a historical plaque to the old name. And to me, that compensates for the name change. It will preserve history and will be renamed Solomon Baldenegro Park. That would be my vote.
To change the name.
Yeah.
Kathy, Don.
So I would then ask if Commissioner Antonio is open to an amendment to his motion in shifting from a tribute park to actual renaming.
I think that so what this is, I believe, is a compromise between the two, and whatever we do right now, it's not the official decision. It's going to be what's the recommendation sent to the mayor and council. So they can make the ultimate change at that level. I believe at this point I would not accept the amendment to this motion and to continue forward with it.
Mom, do you have anything?
I just really like to honor the voices that we've heard. In the surveys. I have to go forward
that because.
Can you
speak louder?
So, yes. Can you speak louder? We can't hear.
I'd like to honor the surveys and the process. So I'd like to go forward as it is, but this is not my motion to make.
Thank you.
Ms. Dunn.
May I ask a question, a point of procedure? If this motion does not pass, does it even get recommended at all to the city council and mayor? Or
So whatever occurs, we include in our report to mayor and council. So we could have past scenarios. We've had things that the commission has not recommended, and we'll just note the TPRC was not in support, or if they were in support, we'll say they were in support by how much. So, like if it's a full board recommendation.
Will the report to mayor and council reflect that there was a majority?
Yeah, all the materials that were shared with you all would also be shared with mayor and council for the agenda items.
My comment is I wish the board could sell about the Negro Park renaming. That's where I stand. So
that's not the motion. On the
that's not the motion, but that's my comment.
That's all on the motion.
So it's been seconded. Antonio's motion has been seconded. So we vote on what he proposed.
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay. So individual vote.
Yeah.
Roll call.
I don't think you guys understood that you're not have seconded.
Seconded.
I did second. And And as a comment, I would like to say I appreciate being able to have conversations when I second a motion. Doesn't necessarily mean that where my vote lies. I think it's really important sometimes for parliamentary procedure to allow us to have those conversations.
Is there a point of order considering that this wasn't something that was on
the point of order is it's not really the audience's discussion.
No,
it's
but
the
is there
our commission's discussion. So there should be no comments coming from the audience.
I want to make a point. There was a motion made by the commissioner for.
Right now we're going to take the vote.
Yes.
Okay.
I just wanted to explain a little what's going on.
It's yeah. Okay. So roll call right now.
Okay. Chair Becky Quintero.
To the motion that Antonio made? No.
Vice Chair Manon Getsy?
Unfortunately, no.
Commissioner Maurice Roberts?
Fortunately, no.
Okay. Commissioner Kathy Altman?
Yes.
And Commissioner Kathy Dong?
No.
Commissioner Antonio Ramirez?
Yes.
Can you make another motion?
Yeah.
Would you like to make another motion?
Sure. I'll make a motion to move forward with the renaming.
Do you have a second?
Second.
Okay. Roll call. Sorry.
Sorry. Second was Kathy.
Kathy, which?
Kathy.
Which one made it? Does it? It's Happy D. I'm on a roll.
Happy D.
You're welcome. It's my first day.
Happy birthday. Commissioner Maurice Roberts?
Yes.
Okay. Commissioner Antonio Ramirez?
Yes.
Commissioner Kathy Altman?
Yes.
Kathy Don?
Yes.
And Vice Chair Manon Getsy?
Yes.
Yes.
That motion
passes. Okay, we can breathe. Next on the agenda. Alliance for Ecological Park Management Department, which today is on discussion. Who's taking that? You are?
Well, you asked for it to be on, but I think we need some context to understand.
Let's stretch for just a minute. Thank you.
Have a good day, everyone. Be safe out there.
Yeah.
And the park from under.
Some of us can't hear even with hearing the city couldn't.
That's a fair point. That's a good point. What do you think about that?
I'm Chris.
Thank you all.
So, that's why
that's one
simple thing.
Yes.
I didn't look at Delphi or Raul.
We have one commissioner's absent. And I guess I was curious to.
I will.
Trying to figure out ways to have that conversation because
he gives notes.
She's the one that pushed for it to happen, especially in service of senior citizens using the water.
So the mission park one was recommended and passed as a memorial.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, I think that's right.
So much water.
So what's that mean?
The aquatic complex did not. It was a 3-3, so it didn't move. And then the Stacy Rodondo got passed unanimously. And then the last one, yours, passed unanimously.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Coming back to order.
She's like,
I'm going to cry. Okay. Alliance for Ecological Park Management, Department Liaison Discussion. I'm believing I put that on the agenda. So what I was requesting was some sort of liaison between the Alliance for Ecological Park Management, which Friends of the...
Mm-hmm.
What's it called? Friends of the...
Let me go back to the agenda that's listed there, and I admit I am also learning it. Ecological Park Management.
Friends of the...
Alliance for Ecological Park Management.
Okay. So I was just requesting that they have some sort of liaison with parks as in Children in Nature do.
So, oh, I see, as Jasmine serves on that
right
board. Okay. So Greg wasn't here at the last meeting, and so what we talked about is that we'd want to talk with the team and then do an official identification of who's going to be appointed to be their primary point of contact. I know in the meantime, Jennifer had recently reached out to Jasmine, yeah. But it likely will be someone other than Jasmine because she's on that particular. So if you want, we could send like a out of meeting email, off agenda email thing, to advise who the official appointee will be.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that can happen?
Yeah, that totally can happen.
Okay.
We're happy to do it. It's just between Greg being out and some other things, we haven't had a chance to really sit and talk through what is going to be the best alignment of staff.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you.
TPRC Subcommittee Community Engagement Proposal, and this is an action item. So I know that
I'm just going to do a little forward and let Maurice take it. Exhausted. But we haven't had subcommittees in this park commission before. This is our first one. I didn't know we could do that until I was on another commission. And I learned that. And so I suggested we do this. I'm the longest standing member on this commission at this point. And there's been a lot of rubber stamping and listening to complaints and kind of being in the kind of friction we were in today. And there hasn't been a lot of creative process. And the city's taken a huge hit financially. And parks need help. And I really want to see matured trees getting more help than they're getting. I want to see more funds. We're losing so many trees in so many parks right now, and the smaller trees are not doing their jobs. And, you know, there's a multitude of other issues. So we went through the process of getting the subcommittees together, finding out how to do this properly, and we have started our first subcommittee. And this is to try to help the parks get more funding because we did lose the foundation about 3.5 years ago, and the city can't you know, has a donation, but they can't talk about it. They can't advertise it legally. So we're trying to figure out ways that we can get more money coming in, create more partnerships, and this is our end result, which Maurice is going to explain. Thank you.
So we come up with something called the Houston Fox Community Engagement Series. Okay. It has three phases. Okay. First one will be Parks and Recreation Open House. Okay. It's a high-level networking event designed to build awareness among influential community members. The purpose is to demonstrate the value of our programs to business and civic leaders and identify opportunities to community-driven support. Target audience or member of the Chamber of Commerce, major local business leaders, civic organization. I'm going to expand a little bit on this. Okay, we recommend that every commissioner should go back to their awards that appointing them and try to get some represented on their weekly newsletter so that our fundraising effort is being encouraged at a local level in every ward. But I shall continue. Activities, leadership remarks highlighting the department impact, information showcasing youth programs and environmental initiatives, networking, reception to foster direct dialogue with potential donors, strategic outcomes, establishing a foundation of advocates to recognize the Parks role in economic vitality and community health. In other words, we need the Parks. We need the Parks people. Okay, we need to have an open house. We need the people that work for Parks and Recreation to show their experience, their qualities, their dedication to our parks. You know, we're naming parks right and left. It's very fine. But if we don't have any money to run them, what's the point? Okay. I mean, it's a, you know, Robin earlier was saying that, you know, she wouldn't feed, you know, the meal given at Armory Park Recreation Center to decent people. This is terrible. Okay. Yes. We knew this was coming, okay, which is why we've been working on this for a while now, over 6 months, I believe, okay. And we're finally coming up with a plan. So let me continue, okay. Phase two, partner project events. Following the open house, commissioners in coordination with the Director of Parks and Recreation will engage interested partners in targeted project efforts. Objective, to invite businesses and philanthropic foundations get insight into specific parts, improvements, or program expansions. Method, provide executive briefings on priority initiatives and current funding gaps to guide donor contributions. Goal, to secure formal sponsorship commitments and build a coalition of business advocates. This is not a one-shot deal, folks. Okay, we need to keep on running this PARCS community engagement series. Okay, we're going to have more cuts, more funding cuts, guaranteed. Okay, we're going to have the same federal administration for the next 3 years. Okay, the first year is the cut of $1.21 million, if I'm not mistaken.
It was 2.1.
2.1. Okay. I always get it wrong. Someday I will get it right.
That's okay. I'm here for.
Hopefully by that time we'll be fully self-funding, so we won't have that problem. I'm keeping my fingers crossed. So this is not a one-shot deal, okay? This is an ongoing campaign that's going to keep on going until we resolve and we take care of our funding issues. Now, among other things, which is phase three, we built up a QR code-driven donation campaign, okay, to engage the general public to contribute. We propose a direct digital donation stream. Execution. High visibility park areas will be outfitted with signage featuring QR codes. Direct funding. These QR codes will link directly to the City of Tucson donation page for Parks and Recreation. Impact. This creates a scalable, low-overhead funding stream that allows visitors and residents to support ongoing improvements instantly. Okay, when you go to the supermarket or to the little corner store, they have those QR codes now. This is the 22nd century. Okay, so let's enjoy it. Let's enjoy the success of that technique, okay, and let's introduce it into our parks. Okay, it's low impact. Okay, it doesn't cost anything except the sign itself. It's no, it's basically no upkeep. Okay, all we got to do is put them up and let people use them. Let's mount a campaign. You go walk your dog, please stop at the QR code. You're going for a little walk, please stop at the QR code. We're not looking to get $10,000 each time, but even if we get 50 cents a dollar, whatever it is, before you know it, it becomes real money. Okay. And that's what we need. Okay, we need to, again, go towards self-funding as quickly as possible, because things are going to get worse before they get better. Originally, last year, during my first year, I did mention that, it's not a drill anymore. Well, folks, not only is it not a drill anymore, this is not a full war against us. So we need to be really proactive, active about this. Now, we've come up with a success matrix. We will measure the effectiveness of the series through attendance and engagement levels of the open house, total volume of sponsorship and donations secured, and the start of tangible improvements across the Tucson Park system. Now, we're starting with the open house. So basically, again, like I said, we need to have somebody in staff and parks and recs. Okay, that's going to be pretty much in charge of getting the open house together. Okay, somebody we could go to and say, okay, we located so many people that are, interested in coming to the open house. Okay, please be aware of what's going on. Can you handle it? Okay, how do we go about it? Now, we need to publicize, this effort, that Fox Community Engagement Series, on the largest scale possible. So, like I was saying earlier, every commissioner should be contacting the ward office, and ask for a little space in the weekly newsletter. Same thing with the city of Tucson. Could do that, and Tucson City and Parks Recreation expertise in putting out those press releases, will be a godsend, to advertise this particular effort, this particular project. And again, this is not a one-shot deal. We want something that's going to keep on recurring, We love our parks. Do we like our parks? Yes. Do we love our parks? Yes. So we need to do something about it, And like I say, if we want them to be here next year and the year after that, now's the time to get moving. So, what they say, two heads is better than one, and 3 years is better than two. So Commissioner Getzy, Commissioner Greg and myself, and Director Hamway, sat down, a few times over the past 6 months, and this is what we've come up with. If you have any further ideas, please, by all means, we are full recipients. Whatever you can think will add, to a steady income of revenue. Again, it's going to be a recurring event until the point that we can try to, to fill in the voids that are going to be happening in our funding history in the future, which, again, like I say, if we go by the federal government, it's a war. Okay, so whatever.
So this Manon has a question.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that this is our first shot. This is a preliminary thing. It has to go through a voting process, and then it would go to the city, and they would decide. So this is just our way of trying to be a little bit more proactive and to help the city in whatever way we can.
Exactly. We're going to.
Yeah, we don't have a lot of control what happens after here, but.
Right. We're going to be giving Director Hamway a letter that summarizes what I just mentioned. Okay. So she has a document that she could go by, which needs to be approved by the full commission before we can go any further. That's the main point. It has to be, everybody needs to get involved here. Okay. Survival of parks and recs is in the balance. We love our parks. Yes. So let's come up with some cash. It's as simple as that.
I'll put forward a motion to put this through.
Can we please discuss it before you do it?
Yeah, sure.
So you have a question, Kathy.
Yeah, what's the goal? How much money do we need to raise, and how many? What's the timeline, and you know, what percentage of the budget are we wanting to substitute?
Which, it looks like 2.1 million.
Start.
Okay. So I personally need to see a real development plan. You know, I need it flushed out with a lot more columns and squares.
You need the process.
I need the spreadsheet.
Well, you know, you cannot have a spreadsheet if you don't have an income. So
that's not true. You can still make a spreadsheet without knowing.
Ms. Dunn.
I like the efforts for community engagement. I think that they're really necessary and truly exciting, I think, to take steps forward. The only thing I would add is that, you know, QR codes in public spaces can be subject to fraud. Okay, yes. So, you know, it's something to consider that the city council and the mayor will have to make sure because low overhead costs can occur. However, you might need to spend some money to protect the fundraising stream so that you can protect it against fraud. So secure hosts for funding would be necessary and something that the city would probably need to consider in this process. But self-funded and community involvement will be critical. I think moving forward for much of what we do, and being somebody who works in the schools, I do appreciate having it all fleshed out, but sometimes taking steps requires us to keep moving forward and flush things too as we go in order to improve mm-hmm. where we're at.
Well,
the legalities around a lot of this stuff has been a bit of a swim.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I don't know.
Yeah.
I just wanted to bring up also is that if we're going to have, you know, recurring advertising in the city's website, in the ward's website, each individual ward's website, in the Tucson Parks and Recreation website, okay, we could include our QR code on every one of those, and that will be secure. Okay. We don't have to worry about, you know, some hanky-panky going on in the park. You know?
But I think, too, and I appreciate the comment, because we see where people will duplicate something that is city produced, and it almost looks exactly
the same,
but they could insert their own QR code and we would not have that awareness. So that is definitely something we would have to talk through with the city attorney's office of evaluating that level of risk. Do I think our donation portal is secure? Yes. Do I think that once something is out there in the public realm and we lose control of it, is it then still secure? Level of confidence is lower. So I think it's a good, like, these are good comments, and I appreciate Kathy A's desire for things to be fleshed out, because obviously we need to see, you know, what's the journey. But I do want to express, and I shared it with the subcommittee as well, a lot of these are great ideas, and as an advisory commission, it's a good ideas for me to share up to the city manager's office. But ultimately, I have to also get their buy-in and support and also their weigh-in on what's the right time to do any of these things. And I've already talked to my boss, like just giving a heads up something might be coming. And it did allow us to talk through some creative solutions that maybe I could bring back to you all. But she wants to talk to the city manager first. So the idea for today was to see if the commission was willing to vote in support of the formal submittal of the recommendation. It doesn't mean that we're taking action today. What it means is it allows me to take what has been communicated on behalf of the commission to the city manager and talk through what your ideas are, what space he'd be comfortable us operating within, and then I could come back and kind of signal, okay, this is what we think could be the next steps. In consideration of the 2.1 million, the other impact that came with that is reduced staff capacity. So there's also having to figure out how to stand anything up today. A lot of our centers are operating at 90% full-time and less than 9% really non-perms. So a lot of the flexibility that we've had in the past has gone, you know, into a tighter belt. So there will be some time that has to be applied to any sort of solution. And I think it makes sense to be able to come back to you all like, okay, if we think we can do this, this is what we estimate the time would be, the plan would be, and how we could execute it where we could make it successful. That makes sense.
Thank you. It does make sense. I just want to correct a little bit about what I said. I definitely need things more fleshed out, but I need it more fleshed out, not only about asking businesses and people to use a QR code, but, you know, can we charge fees? I mean, those of us who use pieces of the park regularly are amazed that we are not charged memberships to use pieces of the park regularly. I'm speaking for the swimmers. It's like, you know, the people who come from out of town are shocked they don't have to pay for the public pool all winter long.
You know, I see.
So, I mean, things like that. So I want to know about, I don't know what the history is about why that went away 10 years ago.
It's a very positive comment, okay? I mean, I didn't know that, you know, swimming pools were free to anybody that wants to get in, okay? So it's another income revenue that maybe we could also, you know, pull into. That should be added, okay, to what we've come up so far. Again, like I said, you know, as long as it's legal, we got to pull that money from any possible prospect. Okay, this is a matter of survival. Okay, if we don't come ahead of the game and we're $2.1 billion behind so far, okay, we're going to run into a wall. Okay, our parks are going to be back to, you know, sand hills. Okay, and we don't want that. Okay, so we need to be very proactive. We cannot let things happen and see what will happen in the future. We know what's going to happen in the future. If we don't take our future into our hands, we're going to run into trouble. We're going to run into a wall.
Understood.
And this is the whole, you know, reason why we came up with that subcommittee and why we created this, what do we call it? We call it the Tucson Parks Community Engagement Series. Okay, let's see. It could have been called anything else, but that's what we wound up calling it. If you want to change the name, I have no problem. You know, we could call it, Alfred P. Doolittle, you know, project. It works for me. Okay. The goal is clear, and that's what we need to do. You know,
so I'm just wondering how much this is going to cost the city to implement any of this for us to do a donation. Like, I don't want to try to cost them any more money for us to host and parks open houses because they have a lot of, if there's no money, how are they going to pay for that?
We have talent. We do,
but we're going to charge, I mean, people get paid to work overtime and to work at open houses and things like that. So are we going to cost the city more money?
You know, it's the old saying, it takes money to make money. And the idea is that if we don't do anything, okay, we're not going to be paying overtime this week, but next month we're not going to have a park. Well, next year we're not going to have a park. So, again, like I say, you know, you got to invest in order to, you know, to get back. Okay. And like I said, yeah, we cannot go crazy. We're not going to have champagne. We're not going to have caviar. We're not going to have the Tucson Symphony Orchestra, you know, obviously, you know, unless they want to volunteer. I have some good friends. Maybe they will, you know. I know Chef Stewart, Tucson Symphony Orchestra. Maybe he'll volunteer. Okay. But we need to present, okay, our dilemma.
Right.
Okay, we're a big city, we have an unbelievable parks and recreation system, and we want it to continue for the future. We don't want it to stop in 2 years from now because we're going to run out of money.
Right. Kathy,
Madam Chair, if I may, Kathy. I just want clarity on what might be the proposed motion, because I know we didn't make the motion yet. Is the motion then to ask the City Council to explore these phases, or is it to employ these phases? And I think there's a difference there. We can move forward with a motion in that respect if I can get some understanding. Is it to explore it? And that's what I think I'm hearing.
It's a proposal to explore.
That's great. Okay.
Well, at this point, it's really, yes. You know, it's a, do we give a letter? Okay. to, you know, Commissioner Amor, who was the director of some parks and recs, she could bring it in for the mayor and council. Okay. If we have a letter, okay, which basically explains to page and a half, okay, what we want, it's already made, okay, and it's in our file, okay. All we need to do at this point is vote, okay, and we approve the letter, okay, let me read it to you, okay.
No, so, no, they, no, we read it.
Yes, we also
read so, yeah. So, Antonio.
If the funding is generated, how is it going to be distributed? Is there equity that's being taken into account, or is it project based? I'm just not very clear on how that's going
to
look.
I think this is still to be fleshed out.
Right. And so I'd like to call for the motion. I can't call for the motion. I'm sorry. Chair, you do that. I overstepped, but you know.
I've been in too long.
Yes, I have. Yeah. My apologies. Sincerely, I think that it's clear. It's just exploratory.
We are an exploratory proposal right
we're
now.
We're in new territory.
New territory as well.
And,
so.
And that exploratory proposal, does that come with costs associated with it? Someone said $2 million. Is that for this or for that?
No.
Implementation.
This is just. To explore for fundraising, basically,
for
the parks.
The development. In order to cover $2 million deficit.
And that was the last year. This was the last year. We don't know what this year's funding cut is going to be. Mm-hmm. Okay. We cannot assume it's going to be less. We need to assume it's going to be even worse. Okay. So we need to be proactive. Okay. Like I say, you know, it's a, we could either, you know, lay down and die, or we could, you know, stand up and stand for our rights, okay, and stand for the parks. That's why we're here.
So I'm going to go ahead and make that motion, Maurice. Can we make a motion to send this to the city council and the mayor?
I'll second.
Okay, roll call.
Commissioner Kathy Altman?
Yes.
Commissioner Kathy Dunk?
Yes.
Commissioner Antonio Ramirez?
Yes.
Commissioner, Chair Becky Quintero?
Aye, yes.
And Vice Chairman Angetsi?
Aye.
Motion passes. Am I missing something?
No, you got
it. Did you ask me?
Oh, you forget to ask me?
I'm sorry.
You're voting. She knew you were
sorry.
I talked too much.
Sorry.
I'm so sorry. Okay, so now we have Greg with Parks Operations Structure.
So I just want to do a check-in with you, Chair, because this is about a 15 to 20-minute presentation. So do you want to do it tonight, or do you want to put it off to next month? That's your call.
Let's put it off for next time. This is the time. It's almost 5:30. Do we have another meeting at 5:30?
We don't. That's why he's giving you the option.
Right, but we still have to go through all these other things. Can we go first on the agenda for next time?
Sure.
Thank you. Okay. Reports and announcements. Antonio, we'll start with you. Do you have any announcements?
No.
Well, welcome, Kathy.
All I want to say is thank you, and it's a privilege and honor to serve our city in this capacity. So thank you.
And the next, Kathy. Kathy, do you have any announcements or comments?
No, thank you.
Okay. Maurice?
Well, we had a great Ward 6 opening celebration last week. Folks were, you know, came in droves and was very happy. And a bunch of folks came over to me and says, what are you doing at Parks and Recreation? So I said, I'm trying to get things better. So it was well received. Okay. Jasmine Chen sent, it was this morning, an email asking me to announce to Armory Park that part of the pavilion structure of Armory Park is going to be traveling through downtown tomorrow. Okay. And it kind of raised the hell in the neighborhood. Everybody wanted to ask, how come it's going to 4th Avenue and then 5th Avenue and 6th Avenue? Whatever, you know, that's it. They were explaining that, well, you know, the structure is a little bit oversized and you cannot make it to 3 points, no way. Okay. I mean, 3 points, no, 5 corners, excuse me. And that's the reason why it's going this way. That's not a bad thing,
okay.
It'll be fun. It'll be a good enhancement to the park.
Oh, yes.
I'll have an exciting announcement next week.
And next week? Okay, next week. Okay, well, I have one, and it's more of a question to be put. I was at a neighborhood meeting, and the police had mentioned to us that the bathrooms at Rudy Garcia Park are being used as sex rooms. So is there any way we can put locks on some of those bathrooms at night? Just keep things a little safe. When people say get a room, they don't mean the bathrooms, okay? That's that cool. So that's my fun announcement.
Yeah, that's awesome. is this the right time to do a front agenda item for next month?
That'll be the
second.
That's next month. Okay. All right. Okay, now Parks and Rec staff.
Sure. So I don't know who's doing Parks, Adrian or John?
Yeah, I'll do Parks.
I'll do Parks.
Okay. Floor is yours.
All right. So right now, Parks, we're, I feel like just last month I said we were cooling down, and now we're heating back up. So that didn't last very long. But so we're gearing up for the warmer months, getting ready for spring to come along. Working on getting our irrigation system up to par to make sure we can get these parks watered as we the Bermuda begins to wake up, working on sports fields as we gear up for the next softball season, and just running through maintenance, making sure the parks are about as good as we can get them before everything starts to grow once again.
Aquatics?
All right. Right now, aquatics maintenance has been going to the splash pads and make sure they test all of them and that they're operational. And they will open on April 1st. Been to Mission Manor over the last several Fridays. That project is progressing nicely. Santa Rita is as well. They're just waiting on some permitting from the county at this point to move forward with the splash pad. Our aquatics maintenance supervisor is out on parental leave, and they had a baby last week, so we were excited about that. And everybody's happy and healthy, and a lot of good news. And in that regard, Dan Gregory is doing an outstanding job covering for Adrian in that position. We found funding to repair the sand filters at Jacobs, and we're progressing with that. I met with APS today regarding the boilers at Clements that have been repaired. We still need to replace a pump, but we are probably at or near end of life on that boiler. And they were looking at pricing to replace that boiler, and I should have it early next week.
Thank you.
Recreation?
I'll go ahead and start. Good evening. Recap of some recreation in February. We had our exercise training for some of our staff last month on February 12th and 13th. This is to allow our staff to maintain their certifications to share exercise classes with our seniors. We had several Valentine's Day events, a big one at El Rio, where multiple centers brought seniors over to their facility and enjoyed some roses and some desserts and some dancing. So that was a fun event. We also had a job fair last Friday. We had 140 people attend with 97 applicants there in that same room, in the Mesquite room. We will have a follow-up job fair on March 13th, again from 11 to 6. This is all for summer positions for our KIDCO, therapeutic rec, and aquatic positions, and any full-time positions that we have posted. Later in March, we have our extravaganza, which is our big Easter event. That's going to take place at Doris J. Thompson Park from 10 to 1, and we have a lot of fun activities planned for that day. And then the following day at Reed Park at the OPC, we have our Battle of the Bands, which is, I believe it's our third annual, maybe it's our fourth, but that's going to be a fun event starting at noon. And then we have our spring softball and volleyball adult leagues that are in session right now. And I'll pass it over to Dean.
Thank you.
Thanks.
There's Dean.
Hi, everyone. So,
there he is.
I was on pause. Yeah, latency or whatever that is. But it's great to see all of you. As Adrian was mentioning, we're getting warmer, so spring kids' day off camps are going to start in March. So that's our last of the kids' day off before we get to the big one, which is going to be our summer camps. Summer camps start June 1st. Orientation week is the 26th to the 29th. So right around the corner, we're going to have a whole bunch of kids running all over the place. So looking forward to a wonderful summer. That's all I have.
Thank you. And summer starts on Friday, right?
Thank you. Starts at noon.
Okay. I don't know if Andy has any updates or not.
No updates on my end. Thank you.
Capital.
And Jasmine said the capital report is in your packet, so mm-hmm. spare you going through all that. She wanted to highlight one thing that Commissioner Roberts already covered, so capital's good.
Okay, thank you, Jasmine. Director.
I don't have a lot. We are yesterday and today was the first of a two-part, or the city manager is facilitating some supervisor leadership summits, and so they split, kind of did it two dates to be exactly the same kind of format, and between yesterday and today, I think it was 150, they said, was
at least.
Yeah, at TCC, and so we'll do that again in March, which I think is really cool because it's really an opportunity or their investment in trying to engage supervisors, give them more skills, hopefully help them to navigate and be more resilient. And then in other news, just today they announced the zoo has a new baby giraffe.
Yeah.
Aww. Yeah. A little boy. So it's hard to imagine that 6 feet tall and 180 pounds is a newborn. Yeah. But that is a fact. So I think it's nice to just focus on some of the positives that are happening. I would say that if you are interested in following what the budget process is, they will be pretty regularly now talking on study session about, the budget topic. They had a presentation last week, and they set out kind of a map of, and they had a retreat. They had a mayor and council budget retreat on Monday.
Monday.
This week has gone a little fast for me. To really help hone in on priorities and help guide the manager in decisions. In the study session, so it wasn't this Tuesday, it was last Tuesday, they highlighted that there's still a citywide deficit. This fiscal year, I think it's around $26 million. Next year, they still are looking at a $69 million gap. So I do, and I encourage the staff as well, so I tell you the same thing I tell them, is if you want, tune in to the study sessions because it's very informative. It talks a lot about what's going on in the city. And I think that's, it's never a bad idea to have good information. I'm sure there's probably other things I should be saying, but like I said, it's been a bit of a busy week for us with them because the summit, different directors were helping to lead the presentations, but we were also in attendance so that we're all hearing things at the same time. So I will say that's it for me.
Thank you. Yay. Now on to future agenda items. Manon.
I'd like to ask about the senior meals that Robin mentioned.
Okay.
If you could get that on the agenda. It'd be wonderful.
Yeah. It's already on the agenda.
Okay.
So we'll just.
Yeah, we had talked last time about
great.
When we were going to move those up. So, yeah.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Anybody else have something for us to get agenda items?
Yeah, I mentioned before. What happened to Sears Park?
A Sears Park update.
Oh, you mean Sears/Loma Verde? Took me a minute to remember which one was Sears.
So do you want that on the agenda?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. You know, I got a request at the Ward 6 meeting. Some lady came over to me and spoke to me for about 20 minutes. Like,
I think I know who you're talking about. And she has been at our bonds oversight meetings as well. And I believe we're talking about that at the bond oversight meeting on the March 16th. Yeah, so that will be appropriate for us to then ask for them to talk about that here too. So we can definitely that request good. That.
Thank you. Anybody else have any future agenda items?
I'd like to talk about the Danny Lopez Park unveiling. I know that was a long conversation in this, about a year ago. If there's a way that we can try to discuss it and move that forward.
Kathy, do you have any?
Not at this time.
Okay. Kathy?
Not yet.
Okay. Not yet. Okay. Sounds good. I just want to say you guys have been doing a great job on the Rodeo Park plan down Drexel and Nogales Highway. It looks beautiful. You guys have been working so hard. Thank you.
It's a team, and yeah, they take a lot of pride in the work they do.
Yeah. So it's going to be a great rodeo parade tomorrow.
Yeah.
So next meeting, March 25th, do we have a motion to adjourn?
You do. Motion to adjourn.
I'll second the motion.
Maurice, all those in favor? Thank you. Thank you and good night.
Yeah, bad one is totally good. Yeah. I know. First, the best fashion.
Not a word. Sure.